Be here, and I'm sure that this was an unexpected pleasure for me to be here with you. I wanted to know that they have impressed upon my heart 30 minutes more than anything else, because I want to make sure that in 30 minutes I'll finish the message that I want to deliver. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Romans. Now, what I want to do is actually go through the entire book of Romans in 30 minutes. You don't seem to believe it, do you? Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our gracious and our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to study thy word. We thank you for the opportunity that we already had as we listened to the word of God, an opportunity to worship and honor our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we ask of thee that thou wilt take thy feeble servant in your mighty hand, give unction from above. Pray this in Christ's name and for his own glory. Amen. Perhaps you know that Book of Romans is the most profound book Apostle Paul has ever written. You can spend hours, days and years in the Book of Romans and you will not exhaust it. In my own local church, I have taken this book verse by verse and delivered 55 messages from the book of Romans to complete it. So you know how easy it is for me to give you a 30-minute time. The theme of the book of Romans is given to us in chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and then to the Greeks. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And then Apostle Paul quoted Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, the just shall live by faith. The reason why I turn to the book of Romans is because it is through the book of Romans I have learned the theology of the gospel. When we share gospel with others, a basic understanding of the book of Romans is absolutely vital for all of us. The book of Romans can be summarized in four words: condemnation, justification, sanctification, and glorification. The first three chapters of the book of Romans gives us an understanding of the condemnation of God against the sinful mankind. And we read there in chapter 1, verse 17, 18, we may take a look at there. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness of men. And God looks at the Gentile world and tells us that my wrath is revealed from heaven against all of them. There are three sins. You can summarize their sins into three points. The first thing that they did was that they suppressed the truth. That word suppress in the original language means hold down. The truth is held down by the Gentile world. The second thing that they did was that they have perverted the truth of God. Even though they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, but they began to worship the creation rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. And then they exchanged the truth for a lie and worshiped the creation rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. And then he, in the chapter 2, he tells us about people who go on in life thinking that they can somehow get to heaven and God will look at the good that they have done and the bad that they have done, and they compensate each other. If they did more good than bad, then God will admit them to heaven. They just believe that God will somehow manage to get them in. And so in chapter 2, Apostle Paul gives us the 7 principles of judgment of God that is there. That God judges according to truth. And God judges according to the secret of their hearts. Something that only known to God in their life. And you have the 7 principles of judgment that is given to us. And then he brings the Jewish nation, Jewish people, the Gentiles, the self-righteous crowd, and the Jewish people. And then he comes to a conclusion in that 3rd chapter. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In chapter 3, he tells us that not one is righteous. No, not one. God could have wiped out the entire human race if God were to judge according to His plan and purposes of God. So once you come to chapter 3, it is absolutely hopeless if we don't have some solution that is there. So it was not by the works of righteousness that they have done. No one is saved by their works of righteousness, because God says not one is righteous. Not even one. That's a sad and pathetic condition of the mankind that is there. And then something beautiful is introduced to us in chapter 3. That is, the righteousness is by faith. So, because righteousness is by faith, you find that we move from condemnation to justification. And in order to communicate the principle God has introduced, 2 examples in from the Old Testament, Abraham and David. I just will mention Abraham. And it is clearly written there in chapter 4. That Abraham was not justified by works, but by faith. God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and Abraham believed God. We are told that in chapter 15, verse 6, God visited with him. And Abraham, he told Abraham, he said, Abraham, I want you to come outside. I want you to look at the stars of heaven. And I want you to start counting. So Abraham went out and he started 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And God said to him, Abraham, your descendants will be like the stars of heaven. You know what we read? In Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteous. So in chapter 4, the Spirit of God introduces us about this great man of God and said that Abraham was not justified by circumcision, covenant of circumcision. Because 15:6 occurs long before Abraham was circumcised. Abraham was not justified by the works of the law. Because 430 years after was when law was given. So Abraham was justified by faith, and faith alone. That in fact transformed the understanding of the salvation that God has introduced to mankind. That is there. That Abraham was justified by faith alone. So we move from condemnation to justification when we come to chapter 5, 4 and 5, where we will find that having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And you will find 7 fruits of justification by faith given to us in chapter 5. Take a look at that. Having been justified by faith, something that has happened already in the past. Now, at the present, as a result of the justification by faith, we have what? We have peace with God. And those who have peace with God also have peace of God. That passeth all human understanding, as we read in the book of Philippians. And we have access by faith into His grace in which we stand, we are told. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And on, the blessings that flows from justification by faith that is there. We are a blessed people. We are justified by faith. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's according to His mercy and according to His grace that is there. That's what we read in chapter 5, that blessing, that fruitfulness that come from justification by faith. And once we understand that we are justified by faith and faith alone, our journey starts. In that journey, the next item that we need to understand is that God, through His grace, sanctifies us. Next one is sanctification. Now, we don't spend much time on sanctification, do we? But if you read the book of Romans chapter 6 and 7, you will understand something about how that process of sanctification takes place in the life of a believer. The first one that is mentioned is identification with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. How many of you were baptized in your lifetime? I hope everybody is. Baptism is a picture of the identification with the Lord Jesus Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. That's where it starts. That's why It is vital that we obey the Lord in the waters of baptism. There are only two ordinances that are given to the New Testament church. One is the Lord's Supper and the other is the baptism. That is there. It is not an optional thing. It's something the Lord commanded us. It's an ordinance that is given to us in the scriptures. Once we are identified, we have identified with Lord Jesus Christ in our life. Just like Paul in writing the Galatian believers, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It is not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life I now live, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we have various steps of sanctification given to us. And the second thing that we do identification is this. We have to reckon ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in our life. That's a constant thing that happens in the life of a believer. That's a process of sanctification in the life of a believer. And we are to present ourselves to God as instruments of righteousness. That means you yield yourself to God and allow God to use us as his instruments in this world of righteousness as Christians in our lives. So it's identification, reckoning, and presenting ourselves to God. We need to yield ourselves to him. And there are many scriptures. We can go to Peter's writings, and he said, you shall be holy, even as I am holy, says the Lord. We sometimes do not pay much attention to this sanctification, because sanctification is the current, that is what God is doing in my life and the life of every child of God. He sanctifies us. He cleanses us. And when you go to this teaching the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the disciples in the upper room, he told them, he said, you are clean by the word which I have spoken to you. So one of the means of sanctification, cleansing that takes place in the life of a believer is the word of God. I don't know how much time that you spend in the scriptures. And understanding the entire Bible it's very important. Understanding each one of the books is very vital for all of us. Because no one scripture is complete in itself. It's the entirety, the Word of God in entirety, that we need to understand. The progressive revelation of God that is given to us. So when we think about sanctification, that chapter 6 and 7 of the book of Romans, if you carefully study and practice them in your life. And Apostle Paul brings out the struggle that takes place in the life of believers who live a Christian life in this world. That's because I end up doing the things that I wish I never did it. I end up saying the things that I wish I never said. And so, Apostle Paul brings that struggle into the forefront of Christian living, and he says, let me tell you something about myself. In me dwells what? No good thing. See, we cannot live a glorious, victorious Christian living in our life looking within any of us, because it is miserable. Because there is a struggle between the flesh and the spirit goes on all the time to prevent us from doing what we would as Christians. And so Apostle Paul reminds the believers of this struggle that goes on. And he comes to the point and says, "Oh, wretched man that I am," he said in chapter 7, "who shall deliver me from this mortal body?" And you know, then the end of that verse is, "through Jesus Christ, our Lord." When we go through struggles in life, the victory that we get in our life is through the Holy Spirit of God abiding in us, and our Lord Jesus Christ, you depend totally upon Him. Through Him we are more than conquerors. And so, if you carefully study chapter 6 and 7, it gives us an understanding of the steps that need to be taken as Christians in terms of our sanctified Christian living. And when you come to chapter 8, what a beautiful chapter that is. He is still dealing with the sanctified Christian living. He said, "There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." In spite of the struggles that we go through in our life as Christians, the victory is guaranteed in the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit in our life. And so Paul says, there is no condemnation. There is therefore no condemnation for those. And we started out by saying, and their humanity is under judgment of God. And by faith, and faith alone, God delivers people from the bondage of sin in their life. And now there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, "in Christ" is mentioned dozens of times in the Word of God. We who are believers, we are in Christ at all times. And we should remember that. Not only that Christ is in us, we are in Christ. And so Paul says there are only two kinds of people in the world, not the Jews and Greeks, but those who are in Christ and those who are not in Christ. And then he went on to say, "the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free, liberated me from the law of sin and death." Now that struggle that he talked about, in that struggle, the Holy Spirit of God came to our help, and the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus liberated us from the law of sin and death. What a message of liberation. And then he went on to say, what the law could not do, it was weak through the flesh. God did by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, so that all the righteous requirements of God might be fulfilled in all of us. Amen? God, the Lord Jesus Christ, by His incarnation, He took on the sins of mankind and fulfilled all the righteous requirements in our behalf, and then He imputed that righteousness to you and me That's the only reason why we are saved. We can never work our way into heaven. Because he fulfilled the righteous requirements and imputed that righteousness to us, we are declared free. Remember that verse, by the way. It's a summary statement. What the law could not do, it was weak through the flesh. God did by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, that is in the place of sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That's what he did on the cross. So that the righteous requirements of God might be fulfilled in all of us. God looks at me. Then he looks at him first, and then he looks at me. And in the beloved, accepted and free. And so when we come to the book of Romans chapter 8, you have seven works of the Holy Spirit of God in that's the first time, by the way, Apostle Paul deals with the work of the Holy Spirit of God in the life of a believer. And we come to the beginning to come to the end of the chapter 5. The sanctification reaches a climax, and Apostle Paul says that not only that you are going to be sanctified, when the sanctification is complete, it is glorification. Next one. We know that verse, right? 100% of the people whom God has chosen will end up being glorified together with him. This is what it says. Whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. What's the glorification of a believer? It's not that I, by my own righteousness, attain something in this world. It's absolutely impossible. But what God is telling us is that everyone whom God has chosen and saved will be glorified ultimately. And it is all because of the works of the Lord Jesus Christ, all whom he predestined foreknew and predestined and to be. And this is what the glory is going to be. I want you men who are married, want to take a look at your wives for a moment. Will you do that? And then I want you to imagine what your wives would be like when the Lord Jesus Christ is through them. Just imagine that. And you suppose what you will do if, when you see her at that point? You women, you can do the same thing with your men. You have to understand that we are destined to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us. You will be tempted to fall down and worship that person sitting next to you once God is through with them. Because they will all be like the Lord Jesus. The very image of the invisible God about whom that we have heard this morning during the worship hour. That work, once that work is finished, it will be glory. That is there. That's the glorification of the saints. Because every one of you will look like Jesus Christ. Amazing, isn't it? That's the prospect of that in the life of a believer. I think my time is gone. And I haven't finished the chapters yet. One sentence. Chapter 8, when we come to see the glorification of the saints, and you go to chapter 9, 10 and 11. 9 deals with the past of Israel. 10, the present of Israel. And chapter 11 speaks of the future of Israel. And then Apostle Paul takes us to chapter 12. Till the end of the book, he tells us, with all the blessings that God has bestowed upon all of us through the Holy Spirit of God, I beseech you, brethren, he said, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Be not conformed to this world, the struggle of conformity, but be being transformed by the renewal of your mind. That you may offer true and acceptable worship in the presence of God. There we have the relationship with God, relationship with ourselves, relationship to the body of Christ, and relationship to the world is all laid out in practical Christian living from chapter 12 to the end. That's why this is a complete study of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not just simply believing once in your life, but it is starting a journey of faith which culminates in the glorious revelation of what God will do with people like us by His grace. Shall we pray? Our gracious and our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for the book of Romans. Thank you for the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ that transformed our wild life. Thank you for bringing us into the family of God. Law could not do, God did through His beloved Son. O God, dismiss us by thy blessings. May these simple reminders of Apostle Paul and through the Holy Spirit of God to all of us will bear fruits in the coming days. For we ask all these things. Dismiss us by thy blessings, Lord. May the presence of Christ continue to shine through our life. May the word of God dwell in us richly and guide us through our life. O God, we pray. Thank you for hearing our humble prayers. In Jesus' most wonderful name, amen.